بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: إنما المؤمنون الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: تركت فيكم أمرين لن تضلوا ما تمسكتم بهما، كتاب الله وسنتي. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ندر الله عبدا سمع مقالتي فوعاها ثم أداها إلى من لم يسمعها. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: قول الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم صلاة. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله صدق الله مولانا العظيم، وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.
Respected mothers and sisters, as we move away from the age and the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, we find that the barakah and blessings diminish and decrease. The light of nubuwwat starts decreasing and we go more into darkness. So the age that we are passing through, the era that we are passing through, this is the age of darkness, the age of deception, confusion, and widespread ignorance. So it is in this age, in this era, that we are most in need to the pure and pristine knowledge of Deen, the pure and pristine teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any changes and without any contamination. Ilm is something that is extremely important in our lives, and we need to constantly make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi zidni ilma, O my Lord, increase my knowledge. After all, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was instructed, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا, that say, O my Lord, increase my knowledge, continuously saying, Rabbi zidni ilma. What is knowledge? There is a famous saying of Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi which states, لَيْسَ الْعِلْمُ أَنْ كَثْرَةِ الرِّوَايَةِ. Knowledge does not mean that a person narrates and quotes a lot of different narrations. A person can quote narration upon narration, quotation upon quotation, hadith upon hadith, ayat upon ayat. This is not the full meaning of knowledge. إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ هُوَ نُورٌ يَدْعُهُ اللَّهُ فِي الْقَلْبِ. Knowledge is only a light and a nur which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in the heart. And that light and nur will illuminate the heart, and it will motivate a person to practice on the dictates of that knowledge. We have to be very careful when it comes to knowledge, where we get our information from and where we get our knowledge from. There is a famous saying of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin, rahmatullahi alayhi, which states, "Inna hadha al-ilma deenun." فَانْظُرُوا أَمَّنْ تَأْخُذُونَ دِينَكُمْ Verily, this knowledge is your deen, so be very careful of who you take your deen from. When it comes to our health, when it comes to the medical aspects in our lives, we are very careful to go to the best and most qualified people. If someone is not qualified in the field of medicine, of knowledge, then we will not jeopardize our health, or we will not jeopardize the health of our children. So when it comes to knowledge, we have to be more careful and more particular. Remember, Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they got knowledge directly from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Tabi'een learned directly from Sahaba. Tabi tabi'een learned from tabi'een, and the chain and the line continues till this day and time. Every person who sat in the company of his elders, of his seniors, who learned from qualified teachers, then that person, now he will be in the position of disseminating this knowledge, because he has acquired the knowledge from the right avenue. The pious predecessors of the past, they were very particular before taking knowledge from any person. They always check the person out properly to see that how particular he is about his deen, to such an extent that if they found a person even shirking in his namaz, not reading his salah in the masjid with takbir-e-ula, then they would not take knowledge from that person, because if this man cannot perform his salah properly, then what knowledge will he have in his heart? Knowledge is transferred from heart to heart. Only the person who has the light in his heart, he can disseminate that knowledge and he can pass it to your heart. Because if he does not have light in his heart, then that will just be a pastime. It will be an entertainment. Remember, knowledge is not about passing our time. It's not an entertainment. It is not done for recreation, but rather it is something that we have to be very serious about, because upon this is our akhirat, our jannat, our iman. It all depends on the knowledge that we have. Self-study is something which is extremely dangerous. Now we are going through an era and a time where people want to study things on their own, and they have become a victim of self-study. Now, self-study can be very dangerous. Time does not permit us to go into too many details, but before we actually come to our topic, because this discussion is on hadith, then there are certain important, relevant aspects that we need to understand in order for us to enjoy and in order for us to appreciate this knowledge. There is an incident some years ago, a woman from India, someone whispered into her ears that Bukhari Sharif is the kitab that you need to take your knowledge from. Indeed, Bukhari Sharif is the most authentic book after the Quran Sharif. And definitely Bukhari Sharif is an entire treasure of knowledge. But it is very important, as I mentioned, to study under someone qualified. Otherwise, there could be confusion, and a person could misunderstand things. So there was a certain narration in Bukhari Sharif where a Sahabi was describing the ghusl of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed to take an obligatory bath. But the Sahabi was only explaining how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would wash his hair. So he said that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take 3 handfuls of water and he would pour over his head. There was a shortage of water in those days and times. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is how he would wash his hair. This woman came across this hadith and she understood this to be the entire process of ghusl. So whenever she needed to take a ghusl, she just took three handfuls of water in her hand and she poured it over her head and she said, I am practicing on a hadith that appears in Bukhari Sharif. But she did not realize that there are dozens of other ahadith wherein Sahaba had given the details of the full ghusl of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, how Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam had undertaken ghusl. So her husband tried to explain to her that this, you come into your own conclusion and you are studying yourself, this is something very dangerous and your ghusl is not valid, but the woman was not prepared to accept anything, and eventually that led to her marriage breaking. Because the husband thought, if this woman is not going to make ghusl properly and she's going to constantly be in an impure state, then how can this woman rear my children and bring up my children correctly? So this was a means of her nikah breaking. What I'm showing you here is that there are many, many examples, but time does not permit us, that you cannot study on your own. You cannot try to refer to some of these books on your own, because it's not so simple, it's not so straightforward. Yes, there are certain kitabs that have been prepared, like the Fazail-e-Amal, Fazail-e-Sadaqat, Fazail-e-Hajj, Fazail-e-Durud. These are kitabs that you could refer to, and remember, these kitabs have been prepared by a very, very reliable author, a very pious personality. That also is something we need to be particular about. Before reading any kitab, find out who is the author. There are many books available that have been prepared by Orientalists, that have been prepared by Modernists, that give us a completely different version of Islam. Not what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught, not what the Sahaba understood, and not what the senior ulama understood. Now this is something that could be very misleading, very deceptive, and very dangerous. So always remember the saying of Imam Muhammad ibn Sirin rahmatullah alayhi, inna hadha al-ilma deenun, that verily this knowledge is your deen. So be very particular regarding where you take your deen from. There are great knowledge, there are great virtues for ilm and knowledge. Generally in this dunya, people give preference to materialistic things and they give preference to wealth over knowledge. But knowledge is far superior than wealth. Knowledge is the estate of Anbiya alayhimus salam. When Anbiya alayhimus salam, when they left this world, what they left behind, they left knowledge. They did not leave dirhams and dinars. They did not leave materialistic things. They did not leave worldly things, but rather they left knowledge. Remember, knowledge protects you. Wealth you will have to protect. Materialistic things you will have to protect. But knowledge protects you, not only protects you in this world, but protects you in the akhirat. When you leave this world, you're not taking your properties with you. You're not taking your jewelry with you. You're not taking your fancy clothing with you. Yes, you are taking your iman with you. You are taking your amal with you. And you are taking your knowledge with you. The more you spend knowledge, the more you teach knowledge, the more your own knowledge increases. But wealth, when you spend wealth, then your wealth decreases. So knowledge is light. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is direction. Knowledge is guidance. A person who has knowledge can differentiate between what is right and what is wrong. A person who has got knowledge can make wise decisions. A person who has got knowledge, he will have some system in his life. He will be able to differentiate between what are his priorities and what are not his priorities. What are necessities and what are luxuries. So knowledge is something that will actually mold our character, and knowledge is something that will make us better people. It will shape our behavior, it will refine our habits, it will improve the quality of our life in this world and the year after. Shaitan and the agents of Shaitan, they are causing a lot of deception in this day and time. They are trying to push a lot of things into deen that are not part of deen. They are trying to legitimize and justify wrong things. So a person who doesn't have knowledge, then very easily he will fall for the plots of Shaitan. That is why in one hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, faqihun wahidun ashaddu ala shaitan min alfi abid. That one person with sound knowledge is more heavier against shaitan than 1,000 worshippers. So may 1,000 people may be making a lot of ibadat. They're reading tahajjud, they're making tilawat, they're making zikr, they're reading nafal namaz, they're going for hajj and umrah. But they do not have a sound understanding of deen. Shaitan can manipulate them. Shaitan can misguide them. Shaitan can mislead them. Shaitan will take them in the wrong direction. But one man that has true, proper knowledge, who is well grounded in knowledge, that person, Shaitan, cannot manipulate him. And that is why it is so important for us to constantly make mashwara and to consult with our seniors and our elders to ensure we are not making the wrong decisions. Sometimes we think we are doing something right, but in reality, we are doing something wrong. We are breaking the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We think we are earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we are earning the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Especially the mother. Remember, the mother plays a very, very important role in our community. As the Arabic saying states, Al-Ummu tasna'u al-Ummah. The mother, she produces an entire nation. Remember, it is the pious, many pious people. It is their mothers that reared them. You'll find many pious luminaries. Their fathers passed away when they were infants. And the mothers had reared them. Imam Bukhari rahmatullah ali, his mother brought him up. Imam Shafi rahmatullah ali, his mother brought him up. Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah ali, his mother brought him up. So when the mother is on deen, when the mother has got the correct understanding, when deen has become the priority of her life, when the akhirat has become the priority of her life, then that mother can produce luminaries. That mother can produce awliya of the time, walis of the time. So the mother plays a very, very important role. So that is why it is very important that she equips herself with the proper sound understanding of deen. As Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, may yuridillahu bihi khayri yufaqihu fi deen. That person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to bless him with good, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to give him immense benefit, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him the correct understanding of deen. To understand every aspect of deen, the minutest aspect, everything, at every given moment, what is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? For us to beautify our character, for us to have impeccable character, for us to have the correct etiquettes, and at every given moment, we know what is required from us. This is the dictates of true knowledge. And this is something that is so important for every single mother. We need to get that adequate knowledge, and we have to give that knowledge to our children. Because remember, we will move on. We will have to leave this dunya. We will have to leave behind a very rich legacy. Our children will watch us. They will watch our namaz. They will watch our tilawat. They will watch our zikr. They will see our commitment to deen. But if my child, the only memories he has about me is that I always remember my mother was playing with her phone. I always remember my mother was involved in futile activities. Or my mother did this, or she did that. So this is the legacy that we're going to leave behind. And this is what our children are going to follow. And if it is going to take them in the wrong direction, then Allah protect. We're going to be answerable in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because we as parents, we were supposed to give them the right direction and put them on the straight path. That is why it is so important for us to learn this knowledge and get the proper understanding of deen. Remember, the more we learn, the more we progress. The more we learn, the more we get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In deen, there's no stagnation. You cannot be in one spot. If you're in one spot, that means you are retrogressing. You have to be progressing, you have to be learning, you have to be improving and making positive changes every day in our lives. No one is perfect. Everyone is learning. Everyone is climbing the ladder. But we have to continuously work in that line and strive for perfection. And if we have to pass away and we do not reach that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows our intentions. When we come to the knowledge of hadith, then the knowledge of hadith is one of the most virtuous sciences on the surface of this earth. This is the prophetic traditions. This is a very great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that over 1400 years have passed from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we can still say safely exactly what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what he did, how he behaved himself, how he conducted himself, the different aspects of his life, the minutest details in the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has all been preserved. Is there any other religion who can claim this? Is there any other religion that can give you such subtle details? No, you will not find any other religion. So we have got the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have got the prophetic traditions. Remember, these are the words that will bring about a revolution in our lives and the lives of our children. These are the words which, if recited in our homes, if taught in our homes, will bring down barakah. It will bring nur. It will bring tranquility. It will shape our ways and our characteristics. These are the words which need to be written in gold. These are the words which need to be inscribed on frames and hung in our homes, where we constantly look at the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, look at the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we adapt our lives, we change our lives according to the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imagine if someone was very close to their father, and their father has passed on, but the father left some special advices for that person. That person will cherish those advices. He will keep it very close to his heart. My father, this were the advices he gave me. This is what he told me. Now, this is not the advices of any ordinary father. This is the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is what emanated from the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You get some people till now who have got the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, what a great thing someone has got the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, there were people who had the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then they would put it into water, and people who got sick, they gave them that water to drink, because this is the Mubarak hair of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now imagine the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emanating from the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What barakah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept in these words. You will find some of the pious predecessors, when they would get sick, what they would say, Hatu ashab al hadith, call the scholars of hadith. When the scholars of hadith would come before them, they would say, Iqra'u ali al hadith, recite the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to me. They would find, by listening to the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they would find that their condition is improving. They would find shifa, they would find cure in the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because of the barakah that emanates from these Mubarak words. There is a nur and barakah in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That nur that comes out, that light that comes out, dispels darkness, it dispels negativity, it brings about nur and happiness within the homes, it brings about peace and tranquility within the homes. Remember those devices which we are using, and we are watching impermissible things on those devices, Allah protect. That is giving out darkness. That is giving about negative energy. That is chasing away the farishtas and inviting the shayateen. Now we are using those things, and then we are saying, why there's no peace and tranquility in my life? Why there's no peace and tranquility within my homes? Not realizing that we ourselves are chasing away the farishtas and the angels. So the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we find some of the pious predecessors. This was something that they made part of their life. Every day They taught the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They read the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They studied the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Some luminaries, like Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya rahmatullah alayhi, when he would read a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then he would start crying because they never felt that they were even worthy to read the Mubarak words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. These are the words that have got the solutions to all the problems that we have. These are the words that need to be taught to children instead of nursery rhymes, which do not have much benefit. That the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this has got the solution to the problems of the entire world. We have got the solution to the problems of the entire world. But alas, how sad it is when the torch bearers themselves have forgotten that they have got the light and they are chasing after other blind people looking for some sort of direction. We were the ones to give direction to the entire world, to teach people the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something that would have definitely improved the quality of their lives. So this is one of the best sciences. Someone put it very beautifully. They said, Ahlul hadithi hum ahlul nabi, illam yashabu nafsahu anfasahu sahibu. That the people of hadith, these are the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are the close ones to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If they were not in his company, they always remained with his words all the time. They were with the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they were blessed with the mubarak knowledge of the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahmatullah alayhi was a very great scholar of his time, a very great alim. If we have to speak about Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, we will need a separate session just to speak about him. But it's mentioned about him that he would always be at home studying the books of hadith. So someone told him, Ala tastohish, do you not feel bored? Do you not feel lonely? Commonly we would hear people saying, now we're bored, we don't know what to do, we need to go for a holiday. But this man was sitting within the confines of his home, and he was studying the Mubarak ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And someone asked him, do you not feel lonely? He said, Kayfa astohishu wa ana ma Rasulillahi sallallahu alaihi wasallam wa ashabihi. How can I ever feel lonely when I am with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I am with the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu? I am constantly in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we are studying the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we are hearing the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is as though we are in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Picture, imagine if I was there in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I was hearing this hadith from him directly, how much of importance I would attach to this. This is the amount of importance I need to attach to his words when I hear the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There are great virtues mentioned in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for people who learn the hadith and convey it as they have heard it. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for such people. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Naddarallahu abdan samia maqalati fawa'aha thumma addaha ila man lam yasma'aha. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep that person happy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always keep him looking fresh. That person who heard my words, he memorized it, and then he conveyed it to those who did not hear it. And that is why you'll find some people who gave their lives to the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in their old age also. When you looked at their faces, you would see that serenity, that peace, that freshness, and that happiness on their faces. This was the barakah of this dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam made dua for them. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, once he made dua, Allahumma arham khulafai. O Allah, have mercy on my successors. Often you would hear a certain person is a khalifa of a certain sheikh, meaning the sheikh made him his successor. So ya Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for his successors. Allahumma arham khulafa'i. O Allah, you have mercy on my successors. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were curious to find out, وَمَنْ خُلَفَاؤُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Who are your successors, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, الَّذِينَ يَأْتُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي يَرْوُونَ أَحَادِيثِي وَسُنَّتِي وَيُعَلِّمُونَهَا النَّاسِ. Those people who will come after me, they will quote my ahadith and my sunnat, and they will teach it to the people. Those are my successors. Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making dua for those people. What doubt can we have in the acceptance of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So if we are learning the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this intention that we will learn it, we will understand it, we will practice on it, we will give it a place in our lives, in our hearts, we will teach it to our families, we will teach it to our friends, then we will also earn the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, أَوْلَى النَّاسِ بِيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَكْثَرُهُمْ صَلَاةً عَلِيهِ. That the closest of people to me on the day of Qiyamah will be those who read the most durood upon me. So ulama explain that generally the scholars of hadith, because every day they are engaged in teaching a hadith, learning a hadith, studying a hadith, they are constantly reading Durood Sharif. And remember, whenever you read a hadith, or whenever you hear a hadith, or for that matter, whenever you hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, make sure you recite sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the biggest miser is that person who my name is recited and he doesn't read sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we make it a point in these lessons, in these discourses, whenever we hear the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if it is repeated 100 times or 200 times, remember Durood Sharif is such a great ibadat. It is such a great way of gaining the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting one Durood Sharif. Instantly 10 rahmats and 10 mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descend upon us. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says that one mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that it is sufficient to fulfill the needs of the entire world. And here by one durood, you're getting 10 rahmats and 10 mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. 10 sins are being forgiven. We are gunagar, we are sinful people. All the time we are committing sins. So 10 minor sins will be forgiven. Then 10 stages will be elevated. In this dunya, we are very concerned about our status. We have to fit into a certain caliber of people. We feel we have to be of a certain status. Did we ever consider what will be our status on the day of Qiyamah? Did we ever consider what will be our condition on the day of Qiyamah? May Allah protect. But it mustn't be that we fall under the purview of this hadith, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, رُبَّ كَاسِيَةٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا عَالِيَةٌ فِي الْآخِرَةِ. That there'll be many women who will have clothing in this world. Outwardly in this world, they will be living good lives. They will be living lives of comfort, of luxury. They will have good clothing and they will enjoy different levels of comfort and luxuries. But on the day of Qiyamah, they will be completely naked, meaning they will be bereft and void of any good deeds. On the day of Qiyamah, it mustn't be that we come like paupers. What are we going to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What did you do? I gave you 60 years. I gave you 70 years. I gave you such a long life. What have you achieved? So by reciting Durood Sharif, then remember, then 10 stages are also being elevated. So these are the so many different benefits now we're getting of Durood Sharif. This is 10 rewards also. One Durood Sharif. 10 rewards are written in our books of deeds. Now one reward is more than 1 million rand. But if I had to tell you, you'll get 10 Kruger coins now, and you just write one Durood Sharif, how many people will not, every person will want to do it, because we understand the value of that Durood Sharif. On the day of Qiyamah, we will understand the reward, the value of those rewards. On that day, when no one will want to part with their rewards, you will go to the closest friend of yours. You will ask them for some rewards. No one will be prepared to share any rewards on the day of Qiyamah. Even the wife will not give the husband. The husband will not give the wife. So this is the benefits of reciting the Durood Sharif. And remember, reciting the Durood Sharif, it shows us, this strengthens our link with Rasulullah SAW. So we need to constantly ask ourselves this question: how strong is our connection with Rasulullah SAW? In this dunya, we are strengthening our link with everyone. We've got friends, we've got people, we've got family members, we've got parents, everyone now. We're trying to strengthen our link with them. But how much did we strengthen our link with Rasulullah SAW? Strengthening our connection with Rasulullah SAW would be achieved by reading excessive Durood Sharif and following the Sunnah. Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali was a very great luminary. He is the one who had revived the effort of Dawat and Tabligh. His brother was Hazrat Mawlana Yahya Sahab Rahmatullah Ali. And Mawlana Yahya's son was Sheikhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had blessed this family immensely. They were a very respected family. And till now, you can see the work that they are doing worldwide, or the efforts that they had carried out. You can see the fruits of those efforts. The mother of Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, on a daily basis, she would read 5,000 times Durood Sharif. That is apart from the Quran Sharif she read. Apart from all the other zikr that she made, every day, 5,000 times, she read Durood Sharif. I just want to share one Durood, since we are on the topic of Durood. And this is something very important. When we study the ahadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we need to read a lot of Durood Sharif. And Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, for many, many years of his life, he was very particular of this. And when he went to different places, then he had encouraged people to do this. There is a narration from Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala that has been quoted from many reliable scholars of hadith. So this narration, Hazrat Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, "Man salla salat al-asr mi yawm al-jum'ah." That person on a Friday, he reads his asr namaz. فَقَالْ قَبْلَ أَن يَقُومَ مِن مَكَانِهِ. After finishing the Asr Namaz, before standing up from the Musalla, he reads this Durood 80 times. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin nabiyyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. 80 times he reads this Durood Sharif. Won't take you more than 10 minutes. The benefit of this is, imagine what benefit, just 10 minutes of your time. غُفِرَتْ لَهُ ذُنُوبُ ثَمَانِينَ عَامًا. The sins of 80 years will be forgiven. All the minor sins for 80 years that one could have committed will all be forgiven. وَكُتِبَتْ لَهُ إِبَادَةُ ثَمَانِينَ سَنَةً. And the ibadat of 80 years would be written for that person. Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali, for many, many years of his life, he was so particular about this Durood, that once someone seen Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the dream, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the closest person to me and most beloved person to me is Shaykhul Hadith Mawlana Muhammad Zakaria Rahmatullah Ali. And one of the reasons for that is because he's so particular about reciting this Durood. So when this is one of the benefits of studying the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we get to read excessive Durood Sharif. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, in the time of the Sahaba, among the females, was the greatest scholar of hadith. In fact, from all the Sahabiyat and the female Sahaba, she is the one that quoted the most amount of ahadith. Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha quoted 2,286 ahadith. Imagine now, those ahadith are being taught in the madrasas, they're being read in the kitabs. Always the name of Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha is coming. We're making dua for her. And how much of benefit is to the barakat of the ahadith? This is because she dedicated her life to the service of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she gained the knowledge from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she imparted this knowledge. So there are many different kitabs on ahadith, many different books on ahadith. But inshallah, for the next session, we wish to discuss four very special ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's a famous imam known as Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, and his kitab is taught in the final year in the madrasas known as the Sunani Abi Dawud. So Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi, he says that I had a treasure of 500,000 ahadith. Imagine what difficulty this man had undertaken in those days and times, how much he must have traveled, how many different ustads he went and sat by, and he said that I managed to gather 500,000 ahadith. From those 500,000 ahadith, Imam Abu Dawud rahmatullahi alayhi had selected about 5,274 ahadith for his kitab, Sunan Abi Dawud. And then he says that from these 5,274, there are four hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that are sufficient for a person to complete his deen. That if he can just learn these four hadiths and he can practice on it, inshallah, this will be sufficient for him to complete his deen and for him to get the proximity and the closeness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So very quickly, we will elaborate on these four ahadiths, inshallah, in the next session. The first hadith is, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ, that all actions are judged on one's intentions. So we have to always correct our intentions. The second hadith is, مِنْ حُسْنِ إِسْلَامِ الْمَرْءِ تَرْكُهُ مَا لَا يَعْنِي, that the sign of a person being a good Muslim is that he will leave out all those things that do not concern him. Often in life, we get ourselves into problems when we worry about things that do not concern us. The third hadith is, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه, that none of you will be a true believer until he loves for his brother what he loves for himself. And the fourth hadith that is very, very important, as though one of the foundational structures of deen, is al-halalu bayyinun wal-haramu bayyinun wa baynahuma mushtabihat. Halal is clear and haram is clear. And between an halal and haram, there will be certain gray areas, certain doubtful areas. We have to save ourselves from the gray areas and doubtful areas. And in this manner, inshallah, we will be able to save ourselves from haram. So let us, inshallah, from now, let us make this intention that we will study the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will learn the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And as we learn the ahadith, we will try to even memorize it. If we cannot memorize the Arabic, we will memorize the English, and we will practice on it, and we will give it a place in our hearts, and we will always think to ourselves that imagine if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is here and he is giving me this advice, how much of importance I would attach to that. And let us now build our relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by learning more about him. We need to learn more about our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We need to learn all the details of his life. Who are his wives? Who are his children? Who are his sons? Who are his daughters? Who are his parents? Who are his grandparents? And we would recite Durood Sharif in abundance. And inshallah, this Durood will be a solution for all our problems. And this Durood will bring about goodness and success for us in this world and the year after. May Allah grant us the true understanding. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا موافيا لنعمه مكافيا لمزيده والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وجنوده يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا سيدنا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب اللهم إنا نسألك الصحة والعافية، اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر المجاهدين في كل مكان، اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين وفي سوريا وفي كشمير وفي بورما وفي السودان وفي يمن وفي كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك، اللهم افتح لهم فتحا مبينا وانصرهم نصرا عزيزا. اللهم اغفر لنا وللمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات، إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.